Hey everyone, welcome to this special edition of Pure Hustle Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Orlando. And this episode, we wanted to just kind of give you a post-Christmas gift. And what we've done is we've kind of spliced all our Bolo episodes together just so you have something quick to listen to before you hit the thrift store.
Yeah, it's good to know, like, what are some of the things that were Bolos. Maybe we'll even notice that some have changed already and aren't as big as they used to be, or maybe they're still fire, so.
Yeah, and not only the thrift store, but the garage sale, or maybe we have some Bolos that are good if you're going to the outlets, just wherever you're at, just something you can keep in mind. You know, maybe you could just download it and keep it on you and just go, hey, you know, I'm going to listen to this on my drive to the next place. So hopefully this is really helpful to you.
Yeah, and do us a favor. If you're watching on YouTube, please comment down below. Let us know which was your favorite Bolo, or if you have your own Bolos that you would like to add. If you're listening to us on podcast, you know, hit us up on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and let us know what are your Bolos? What are the things that have been either things we've told you that have been helpful or something we might be missing?
Yep, so true. So with all that being said, hope you enjoy all the episodes that are coming up right after this. Make sure to always be real this holiday.
Be relevant.
And be reselling. Late.
Episode one.
We got Bolo of the Week. We haven't talked about Bolo of the Week yet.
Bolo. What's a Bolo?
Bolo. If you're a criminal, they're looking out for you, right? Be on the lookout. But I would say in the reselling world, and a lot of you are going, okay, Orlando, why are you explaining this? But it's items to be on the lookout for. So let me.
You're explaining it because I'm still new, and maybe some of you out there listening are new also. Well,
so some items actually, I'll put this on our social media. I always say look for team specific items that have logos, and I'm talking about shirts or apparel. I'm talking about, for instance, like a wallet. One time, I found this Rawlings wallet, and it had a Padres kind of embossing on it. And I bought it for $5, and I sold it for $50. The last two items I sold within the last couple weeks was one was a pair. You remember these shoes? Remember those Giants shoes?
Oh, yeah. Those were so bizarre.
You said they were ugly.
Yeah, I guess ugly is probably the word I would actually use.
Okay. I'm actually a Giants fan, so I don't know how I feel about that.
The first thing I thought when I saw those is, who would wear those?
So, well.
Other than just being a fan.
I would wear them.
Okay.
Along with my Allen Iversons from the 90s.
Maybe this will be one of the things we talk about later, like specific items. But I was surprised to see that shoes were even a thing that people bought on eBay. I didn't realize that.
I would say shoes are a big moneymaker. And there's plenty of people out there that share about this. But, you know, I've always found that sports logo specific shoes sell. So these Giants shoes were by Reebok. They were patent leather. They had the Giants logo. And I believe I paid $12 for them, and they sold for $50 within the week, plus shipping.
Nice.
I found another pair of Charger shoes. There were some Converse that had the Los Angeles Chargers logo on them.
Ouch. Sorry for all of you out there in San Diego.
I know. It's still probably pretty raw. But, you know, I think I paid $3 for these at a garage sale, and I also want to say, and I'll put it on our Insta, for about $40 to $50 plus shipping. And so these are easy find, and sometimes we look them over. But take a look and do your research. Just because I say something doesn't mean that it's going to happen or you're going to make money. And by the way, these podcasts, if you're listening to these 6 months from now, you know, it may be irrelevant, right? So we always want to make sure we're real with you, right, that we're relevant, right? Would you say relevant?
Yeah, probably? Relevant. That's good.
Right? And then I guess reselling? Wait. Uh-huh.
Be real, and be relevant, and be reselling. Got it. Are those like the three rules there?
You know what? Let's make those the three rules.
All right.
Be real, be relevant, be reselling.
But here's one that I was kind of interested. I didn't realize how often you would run across new sealed inbox items either at garage sales or at thrift stores. But I've been finding a lot of just new inbox sealed items that for whatever reason end up at a thrift store or at a garage sale. And one of the things I've noticed, and I know this is like a very just kind of a general Bolo, I'm still maybe too new to get
specifics.
It's
pretty vague.
Yeah. But if you're new to this, if you don't, you know, if you haven't been doing this for a long time, if you see an item that's sealed, it's in its case, you know, check it. Look it up on
eBay. When he says check it, you don't mean open it, right?
No. Don't open the item. Okay. No. You've got to assume that it's going to be a working
item. Yeah, you're going to lose a lot of money if you open it.
But check it. Do the research. Check it on eBay. See what they're selling for new. because there's a big difference. There's times I look up an item that I see and I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a bunch of money. And then I see, oh, wait, that's new. I have to look at the used ones, right? And so if you can get one of those new items, you make quite a bit more money than you do if they're used.
Okay, so let me just take it one step more, just so like to be a little specific. So board games, sealed board games. And I would say not only sealed board games, but sealed board games that are specific to something. So for instance, I ran across a Seinfeld Clue game. And it was sealed.
My wife would have loved that. She loves Seinfeld. That's her jam.
Well, I won't let her know about it. So anyways, I paid $8 for it. And I looked it up online, and they were going for $70.
Whoa.
Right? And, it didn't stand out to me because I'm not a big Seinfeld guy. By the way, don't buy just what you like. Make sure you're looking up other items. And I actually, maybe I need to watch. I've heard some good things about Seinfeld. Is it worth my time?
It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's good. Okay. It's a show about nothing.
I know a few things about Seinfeld. So I picked it up, and sure enough, it's great. I also at one time found an Office a Clue game, and those are going for about 160 to 200 new. Nice.
And it was opened or
no? It was sealed. It was crazy too. It was at a Goodwill, and it was in the women's shoe rack.
What?
Yeah. So, ever since that time, I've made sure that I always go over to the women's shoe rack, just or around the store, because you never know where people end up leaving stuff.
Wow, that's crazy.
Episode 3.
Okay. So I go into a thrift store. You got to know, like, certain days they have specials, right? And the special at this thrift store was all shoes $4. And so I thought, okay, like, I'm going to go during this day, during the week, to see the shoes. And they had a pair of shoes that looked strange to me to start with. And as soon as I looked at them a little closer, I realized that they were cycling shoes.
Okay.
Okay, so they've got these cycling shoes, and it was, they were Specialized was the brand, and I actually ride a bicycle, and it's
pretty random brand. Specialized shoes.
Specialized. Well, I ride a Specialized bike, so I know that that's quality bike.
I'm not a bike guy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Okay. I mean,
a bicycle guy.
You would think normally, like, certain brands like Trek, right? Like, that brand. Specialized, if you're not in the cycling world, but I knew that that was a good brand, but I had no idea what these sold for because the cycling shoes I wear are like $30 shoes I got on Amazon. So I looked these up, and used, they're selling for, like $200. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a lot of money for used shoes. Now, the shoes that I was getting were an older model that were pretty messed up, right? Like, they were scuffed, and I couldn't find any comps that were as bad as the pair of shoes that I found.
Okay.
So they were pretty scuffed.
Yeah.
They were really bad. But I was like, you know what? There's other ones going around this price. So the only research I could really do was trying to figure out what model it was, which I couldn't even do that. I knew it was several years old. It wasn't one of the newer models of the shoe. And I listed it, and I ended up making well over $100.
Wow. And you paid how much for these?
$4.
Nice. So what's out there? So it's kind of interesting. I was at a thrift store, and my son, who at that time was 3 years old, he always liked taking off on me, like, in thrift stores, like, all the time. And so this one time, it actually paid off. We were at a thrift store, and he took off into another room, and I'm like, hey, where are you going? And I chase after him, and I see this plush, this Lion King plush. And it's Simba, if you remember Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And is it Simba? Yeah, it was Simba. And, it was going for $15. And so I went on eBay, and I looked at comps, and, they were selling for, like, 20, 30 bucks. And I thought, well, it's selling for 15, I don't know. And then I saw some for like 50, 60, and I'm like, you know what? It's worth it again. Oh, and by the way, it was half off on that color tag.
Oh, nice.
So it was 15, so it was like 750, I think. Mm. It's been so long. So I buy it, and I could have just listed it, for 50, 60 bucks. But then I noticed that the larger Simbas from a certain era, from like, I want to say the 90s, I hope that's when Lion King came out, or maybe early 2000s, I can't remember the year, it's been so long, we're selling for a lot. If they're larger, we're selling for a lot of money. So there are some of these, you can look these up online, eBay, that if they stretch across, they go for $400 or $500.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, like, okay. So I kept researching, and I kept looking, and I didn't find it anywhere.
Wow.
Like, mine was like a stand-up one. Like, he was kind of like, establishing himself like on a cliff or something. And so I did all that research, and I thought, no one else has this one listed anywhere. and it's around the same time frame. And I know that around the same time frame that others are going for a lot of money. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to throw this up. And I always throw this magic number. I'm going to throw this up for $1,000. I do that all the time. So if I find something that no one else is selling, but things that are comparable to the same time or very similar to the item, I'll just throw it up for $1,000 or best offer.
Okay, so you're telling me you have no idea comps on this thing and you're actually putting one with three zeros behind it.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Well, okay, actually,
that's awesome. I mean,
$999.99, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounds a little better, right?
All
right.
Yeah, well, you know.
It looks better.
It's not $1,000. And people have different theories about that, and that's for another time. But I do that all the time. And so I thought, why not, right? So it paid off doing the research, and this is why. So within a couple weeks, I got an offer. I was getting like 100 or 200. So I'm like, wait, like people are willing to pay this much for this item. So I thought, I'm going to hold out because I know others around this time frame, you know, were selling for about 500. So I held out, and it was a long tail item. I held out for 8 months. And then somebody from the UK offered me $550.
Wow.
And then they were willing to pay $120 shipping through eBay's global shipping program. You better bet I accepted that offer. And sure enough, I sold it. So, you know, the lesson in all of this is I could have right away, you know, done the quick flip, sold it for 50, 60. And I'm sure some reseller would have picked it up and done exactly what I did and sold it
right
for $500. But I took the extra time to research, and it was very much worth my time.
Episode 5.
Yeah, and how about bolos? Let's talk about bolos now.
Bolos, yeah.
Do you have your bolo of the week?
Again, I feel like I always have the least to offer on this one because I haven't been doing this as long as you have. One thing I've noticed that I've seen at quite a few garage sales that I haven't even really spent time looking into, and finally I was at one and I grabbed it as a bundle for something else because I was trying to talk a guy down.
Okay.
But I've seen a lot of like audio equipment that's not like the typical audio equipment, but like microphones and like things like that.
Okay.
And I feel like microphones sometimes are a dime a dozen, right? Because there's like the karaoke microphones everywhere that probably are worth nothing. But I found a microphone that just looked like it was one of the many others that I've seen. And I look at it and I grab it and it was a little heavier than other ones I've actually picked up. And I looked it up and it was selling for like $100. And
really?
I was able to talk the guy down to 10 because I bundled it with something else. But I just think back to all of the garage sales that I walked by microphones, and you never know if somebody was like a hobbyist for a little while, you know, they were doing singing in their garage or they've got a little band going. So they end up going out and spending money on band equipment or microphones or things that I have no idea that world,
okay,
but they have it. And so then they sell it. So be on the lookout for not just a cheesy karaoke microphone, but like audio equipment that, learn the brands, right? Like, I don't know all the brands, but start looking at that because I see them everywhere. And now I'm thinking, I need to learn some of these brands because there's some money to be made.
True. And you always have to expand your knowledge base. I mean, I keep saying that, like, you got to keep, you know, growing that.
Mm. Good. What was your bolo?
So my bolo, this is what I wanted to share. And I was going to share this last time I kind of held out. So I sold this a little bit ago, but you know, there was a time on eBay where everybody was getting into mesh trucker hats.
Mm.
And I remember there was a time I could sell a mesh trucker hat for like $50 to $80. Now, I still can every once in a while. If it's a vintage one, it's something that people want, it's unique. But an item that people look past sometimes are like old, like company hats.
Mm.
Okay, so something I sold, and I'll post this on the Insta. I sold a Wiener Schnitzel hat. Okay.
Wiener Schnitzel employee hat.
right. It's kind of like, you'll see on the picture, it's like it's like puffy, like small brim.
Yeah, like an old like train conductor hat.
Yeah, they're kind of like that. And I remember I picked it up for 10 cents. It was kind of like a lot. I remember I picked up, I want to say like 50 hats for like $10.
Mm.
And I listed it for $75. And it's funny because, you know, I'm sure some people are like, that's crazy. Like, you won't get that. And I ended up learning a long time ago that if it's something that's not listed, and you, this is part of the last podcast, right? I go, sky's the limit. I didn't try to list this for $1,000, okay? But I did list it for $75. And sure enough, I sold this old employee Wiener Schnitzel hat for $50.
That's a good one. I mean, just thinking of all of the things that I pass up when I'm in a thrift store, and you find, you know, a brand shirt that you like, but it's like, oh, it's branded for, you know, some Ford business or some, you know, it's got a brand on it, some business. And so I pass it up, but, you know, there's probably somebody out there who used to work for that company that's like, hey, I wore one just like that back in, you know, the
70s. Yeah, I mean, just nostalgia or whatever, you know.
Episode 6.
Let's give our bolos, right? Like, what should our
sellers out there? I mean, it's been awesome to have some of them just direct message us too. It's been great because I still have a ton to learn. You have a lot to learn. I mean, we all have a lot to learn. I mean, there's so much out there and so many ways to take advantage of this opportunity. So, yeah, just keep sending us information.
Yeah, that'd be great. Cool. Speaking of helping each other out, let's give our bolos, right? Like, what should our audience be on the lookout for? What should I be on the lookout for this week that you know about?
You know, for me, and this is going to sound crazy, okay, but anything that's Christmas that moves.
Like cheesy, like Santa Claus, like banging on something
yes,
in the workshop.
Yes. I'll just drop a brand like Mr. Christmas. If you see Mr. Christmas stuff and it's working, you should look at the comps, but for the most part, you're going to make your money on it.
What about like the reindeer that stand in the yard that like their heads move up and down that are like the lights? And
the huge ones?
Well,
if you want to ship it, but you know, I've always found luck with those items. Mm. There's one thing that I always end up finding. It's and I'll probably post it on Insta, you know, when we start talking about, hey, please listen to us. There's like this marching band. It's called Santa's Marching Band. It came out in 1999. It's pretty, I think it's cool. Maybe I'm just old. I don't know. I love Christmas. Mm. And so what it is, it's basically you turn it on and it plays multiple. So, you know, it'll play. What are some Christmas songs? I love Christmas, but I can't remember.
Jingle Bells.
It does Jingle Bells. It'll do O Holy Night. It'll do all these songs, and it's just cool. And so people think it's junk. Mm. Like, it's weird. Like, the last one I found was at an estate sale, and it was in the backyard, and it was in a bucket. Like, the box in the bucket, all messed up, all dusty, and it was $5. I'm like, I am buying that.
Nice.
I went home, cleaned up the box, tested it, shot a video. By the way, have you done videos in your YouTube? I mean, in your
for
eBay listings?
I haven't yet. I've definitely considered, especially with a few electronic items, like to show exactly how it's working. You know, because you're trying to describe, like, it spins, but there's a little bit of a wobble, right? And I don't know enough about a record player to know if that's good or bad. So I've definitely considered doing video. I haven't yet, though.
I strongly recommend you do it, especially if it's something that moves. There's a website called flippertools.com.
Mm-hmm.
Have I talked to you about that?
You haven't.
Okay, so check it out. A guy in there, he has a YouTube converter. I'm trying to find it right now. But you could probably type in. I'm just going to Google it now live. But what it does is, it takes, like, you'll go to the YouTube website, you'll take the web address, you'll take it to this website that's called the YouTube Converter for eBay or something to that effect. I think if you Google it, I think you'll find it. Yep, I just found it. It was the first thing that came up. And you copy and paste the YouTube web address.
Uh-huh.
And then on the bottom, you'll scroll down and you'll click on Make eBay Code, and it'll give you an HTML code that you could copy and paste into your listing.
Into your description, and it, like, the video shows up?
It shows up now. Back in the day, you used to be able to click on it and it would play it right there on the listing. Mm. Now what it'll do is you'll click on it and it'll take you to the YouTube video.
Well, if that's the case, wouldn't it just be better just to have a link?
No, because it shows you the picture.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's
so people visual. Know what the link is. They know that they're picking up video.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So I've always done this with Mr. Christmas stuff. And I don't think there's one Mr. Christmas item I haven't sold within a month or two of buying it.
Well, you might have a harder time finding them now that everybody knows to be able to. Oh, just kidding. Yeah, there's tons out there.
Right? There's tons out there. And I'm telling you, there's a few things. Number one, they're scarce.
Mm.
Right? I mean, I got lucky. One month I found like two or three of them. Okay, but that was rare. Number two, you got to put in the work.
Right.
Right. You got to clean it up. You got to test it. And then number three, you know, it's a listing game. It's how good are your pictures? How good is your video? How good is your description? Is it priced right? And so for me, it's definitely a bolo. It's going to take a little bit of more work, but I've sold them for about $100 a piece.
So does it say Mr. Christmas somewhere on it? Like when I'm looking at something?
Yeah, all the items say Mr. Christmas. So another one I sold was a Mickey Mouse tree topper. And it was Mickey Mouse on a reindeer, and he was like hopping along, going around. And I paid, I think, $13 for that one, and I sold it for about $60.
Nice.
So if I can find it on my eBay, I'll post it. But, you know, again, the video made it. And it was worn. Like, it had, like, you know, some wear. Some of the paint was off. But people love that stuff. Mm. So that's a bolo. So now that we're in the summer and no one's really caring about Christmas, definitely something to look out for.
Nice. Yeah, my bolo, I don't know if it's a great one because I think it's one of those things where it's a great market when it works and probably bad if it doesn't. But I'm going to say vintage board games or just vintage games. I've had pretty good success with some vintage games that I found. One, I just grabbed a bundle together with another item. So that way, you know, I could, it doesn't look like I just found like the one expensive thing they had.
Okay.
You know, was able to, and it sold actually before my expensive item sold. And I made like 30 bucks, something like that on it. It wasn't great.
So how do you know it's vintage?
Well, when you look at a lot of them, some of them it's brand, right? Like you can tell like if it's an old school brand, but a lot of times you turn around, you look at the back and you see what the copyright date was
okay,
on it.
Okay.
And when you see them and it's like from the 70s or the 80s, right? You're like, all right, you know, this might be one. And so you look at
episode 8.
Hey, let's talk about bolo of the week. Bolo. You go first this one.
All right, bolo. So I was at a thrift store looking around at some stuff and I found I often go to like the bric-a-brac section of the.
So establishing relationships is so big. And I always say again, would you say attract flies with honey?
Yeah. Catch more flies with honey.
Right. So don't be that jerk. Like, don't go into a thrift store and, you know, you're upset about something. Like handle yourself, you know, because it's going to go a long way. Because what happens is, I'll go into a thrift store and I'll say, hey, why didn't, and I've actually had people say this to me, how come you didn't share this with so-and-so or this other reseller?
Right. Like,
well, they weren't nice to us the other day.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, wow, like, yep. I can't believe that just being nice helped. So, you know, and this is common knowledge, common sense, but I think sometimes we all need reminders.
Yep. And that goes back to, you know, there's a lot of popular quotes that go along this line, and I'm probably taking this one, paraphrasing it a little bit, but I think it's Maya Angelou has a quote, something like, people won't remember what you do or what you say, but they'll remember how you make them feel, right? Okay. So when you go into a store, if I mean, it's human nature. When you smile, other people are going to smile. When you're kind to people, even if they're having a bad day, like, they're going to remember that you made them feel a little bit better. And so, yeah, like you said, you make that connection with whether it's a clerk there at the store, a store manager, or just, you know, anybody you meet, right? Like, there's no reason to not be nice.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. So go out there and hustle that niceness.
Yeah.
Hustle niceness?
Hustle happiness.
Hustle happiness. That sounds better. There you go. Yep. Okay.
Hustle that happiness.
It sounds like you're stealing happiness, though. Okay,
but you're giving it. Like, you're giving it and getting it. That's the best kind of hustle.
Let's move on.
All right.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about bolo of the week. Bolo. You go first this one.
All right, bolo. So I was at a thrift store looking around at some stuff, and I found I often go to like the bric-a-brac section of the store.
Can't stand that area. Sorry, I got too close to the mic. I can't stand that area.
Yeah, I normally don't get very many good things, but occasionally in the bric-a-brac area are like random electronics in boxes that didn't make it to the electronics section. And this has happened to me multiple times because it just looks like, you know, just a white box with something in it and people I don't think pay attention. So I grabbed this headset piece. It was in its box. It wasn't new. I could tell it was used, but it was like new. And it was it looked like a gaming headset. And I realized after reading it, it was a Bluetooth like headset. And I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be ancient. Nobody's going to want like a big Bluetooth headset with like a giant mic that goes in front of your mouth. But I scanned the item. I probably wouldn't have looked it up if it didn't have the bar, but it's called a Blue Parrot. So it's Blue Parrot, Bluetooth. And what I discovered as I was doing some research on it is it's like truckers use them a lot to be able to talk. It's like noise canceling.
Yeah.
I picked it up. I paid up for it a little bit. I paid $20 for it, which was another sign. I'm like, why is this $19? You know,
do they kind of look like what football like coaches?
Yeah. Like huge. It's like really big. And new, they're going for like $150 on eBay, and used is, you know, well over 80, like consistently selling at that. And I'm like, score. Right. So Blue Parrot, it's, it might look like, I mean.
And it doesn't have to be Blue Parrot. I've seen a lot of these headphones like at garage sales and people would just walk past them. But if they work and they're a certain brand, they can bring some good ROI.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember the clientele, right? So you might not be interested in it. The idea of driving on the road now, Bluetooths are so tiny, or they're in the car, or, you know, it's just an earpiece, but you could still, it's still a microphone. So we don't want a giant thing in front of our face. But if you're a truck driver, that's what you want.
Is that
right?
Legal?
Yeah. No, it's hands-free. It's absolutely legal.
Interesting. Yeah. Huh. I just think about, you know, California, we got these, well, maybe you support these laws, but I'm just not a fan of, like, I can't do anything on the road. But that's for
that's safe.
Time. No, I know, but okay, but I can chomp on like on a huge burrito and I won't get pulled over. But if I just one moment like unlock my phone, like I get a ticket.
I see where you're coming from with that. But I do think now though the laws are set for just distracted driving. So
okay,
if you are eating a burrito. Well, I say this because I've seen weird things on the road. I've seen people
Do makeup.
But here's the weird one. My wife saw somebody one time playing the trombone while driving on the freeway.
No, come on. That did not
happen. The trombone was outside the window.
That is so not true.
It's true.
That is
so not true. I swear it's true. So
like,
that's
distracting.
On the freeway, driving, playing a trombone.
What are they playing for?
She said he had like the whole, like, imagine like a high school uniform, like band uniform. So like probably on the way to the game, like playing the trombone.
That is new. Like, I've seen people reading, but playing the trombone.
Playing a trombone.
Wow.
I think that should be our logo. Somebody playing a trombone out of the car.
Worth listening to on the podcast is Mike's story about the trombone player in the car.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Let me talk about my bolo. Bolos. So this is going to sound crazy, and I just have been talking about Skechers shape-ups, but I thought these went away. Like, I thought, you know, there was a market for them 4 or 5 years ago, and I remember selling a lot of them. And they're selling again.
Those are the ones with the little, like, looks like a cradle.
Yeah, they're like the rocker shoes, you know. And
aren't they, like, terrible for your, like, body? Like, didn't they realize, like, it's not actually that good?
Well, actually, while we were talking, and I was listening, by the way, I looked up, you know, WebMD, right? Reliable. Uh-huh. But, you know, they had said, you know, rocker sole shoes have an unstable, strongly curved sole. Walking in them is akin to exercising on a balance or wobble board, blah, 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 blah. Basically, what they said is that they don't help you exercise more intensely, burn more calories, or improve your muscle strength and tone.
So basically your Bolo is an item that is a scam.
Well, I don't know, but I remember hearing this years ago that like Skechers are proven not to work.
Mm.
But for whatever reason, like they're selling. And I would say in the last month, I think I've sold 3 of them.
Wow.
And they sold within like two or three weeks of me picking them up.
You know, and that's a crazy thing, I think.
You saw me pick up one of those. Remember at Amvets? Like, those sold, I paid, I think, $8, and I sold them for $45.
Nice. You know what I think it could be, too, and this is part of being relevant with the part of our tagline there, is you never know. Like, all it takes is an article or a celebrity to send out a post on something or something to end up on the Dr. Oz show, which could have been the case with these, like, all of a sudden, but that's what I mean. Like, all it takes is like one person to say like, "Hey, got these shoes, lost 20 pounds," and if they've got, you know, a million followers on Instagram, next you know, everybody's going out to buy them. So just being aware of those trends and what's happening and what's popular at the moment.
Yeah, it could be. I just thought Skechers shape-ups were dead, but I'm gonna pick them up. You know, I went through a phase where I had a ton of them, and I sold them all, and then another phase where I bought a ton of them and they didn't sell. And now I think I have maybe 1 or 2 in my inventory because I keep selling them.
Did you like liquidate them out at like discount
prices?
No,
I waited. I mean, there were people like in Australia that couldn't get their hands on them. Mm. There were people like a lot of them were international sales.
Okay.
So maybe the news didn't get to them that didn't work. I don't know. But we have the internet now. I'm sure it got to them.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's the Bolo.
Episode 10.
Okay, let's talk about our bolos now.
I'm going to let you go first because I don't have one off the top of my head at the moment.
You weren't ready for the show?
I come into this ready to experience a good time.
Oh, my goodness.
And share my experiences. So,
all right. So my bolo of the week, so it's going to be kind of vague this time. So last time we were very specific, like Skechers shape-ups.
Yep.
Okay, this time my bolo of the week is going to be willing to keep an eye out for items that are a little more expensive, but that are new tools.
Mm.
Okay, and the reason I say this is because people pass this up all the time, right? I'll walk into a thrift store. Like, for instance, I posted on Insta, I did post it on Insta a month ago, and then when it sold, I put it on the Insta story. But what I ended up selling, let me give the title because I'm not a mechanic at all. Like, if your car breaks down, you don't want me around. Like, I can tell you, like, what happened on the Second Crusade, but I can't tell you how to fix anything. I'm sorry. Just how I roll.
Useful information.
Not practical, just that's useful, right. I useful. Guess. Yeah. All right.
Well, I think that's kind of the same thing.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I sold Lincoln Power Luber Grease Gun. It's like a thing that mechanics use.
Okay.
And they were at the Goodwill, and they were selling them for $60 a piece. And there were three, and they were all new.
Hmm.
And they were sitting there, like, all day.
Hmm.
Like, I walked in there, I said, no one picked these up? They're like, no. And I think people don't pick them up is because, number one, the price point.
Yep.
Right? And number two, like, they have no idea what it is, so it kind of scares people off. I have no idea what these are. Even to this day, like, I saw some pictures on Google Images of, like, people doing something with brakes or something with them. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I sold them. Right? I still made money. So
it's what matters.
And I find that a lot. Like, I'm willing to go and spend money on items that I have no idea about. I just research the comps. You don't have to know exactly how it works.
Hmm.
You just, and especially
if it's new. If it's used, you probably need to either know somewhat how it works or what it is, or be able to disclose in your listing, like, not sure if it works, but it looks
for
cool.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't even go that, you know, unless you know, like, for parts, people are willing to pay money. But just be willing to be on the lookout for those items. Because I think sometimes, especially when you're new, right, you're very focused. Like, I'm going to look for Harley, and I'm going to look for Hawaiian. That's what I look at, Hawaiian shirts. And I'm going to look just for, you know, these certain specific jerseys. And I want to find some Yeezys and whatever it is. But in the end, like, you may be missing out. So don't go in with a narrow view. Like, be on the lookout for those bigger, newer kind of tools out there that people want.
Oh, I like
Makes
it.
Sense?
Makes sense to me.
All right, so you ready now with your bolo?
Yeah, I was ready before. I just forgot on the spot.
Oh, wow, you're trying to keep us in suspense.
That's right. So here we go. And this isn't like a great bolo as much as maybe just a tip, kind of like yours was a tip. But it is kind of a bolo. So there's a thrift store around me that I go to occasionally, and I almost never find anything good there, like, in general. But I've had very good luck finding vintage toys or just, like, different toy stuff in general. Because they have this little rack that's set up that, like, some toys get thrown into, but, like, so do other random miscellaneous things. And it's kind of just a jumbled up mess.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I never look at that.
Yeah. To me, that's a gold mine because I know that resellers like you aren't going to take the time to move stuff out of the way and look, right? Because most of the time you're wasting your time, right? But this one store I know because they kind of have it all set up this way. I've gone in twice now and gotten vintage toys that are very, very, very high-value toys. So.
Interesting. You know, ThriftZilla, remember ThriftZilla had a Hustle of the Week a few weeks ago? He does that all the time.
Hmm.
So if you follow him on Instagram, and you should, ThriftZilla, he sells toys all the time that he finds, like, all the time. Yeah, and they're, awesome. Like, jumbled up, and he'll set them up, and he'll break them apart, take nice pictures, and they'll sell.
That's
he
great.
Makes money on them. So, wow. Okay, Bolo, so big tools that are new and jumbled up toys.
Episode 12.
There we go.
Genius.
All right, how about Bolo? Talk to me about Bolo of the week. Hey, let me do mine because it goes right into buckles. I want to talk to you about buckles. You know, buckles ebb and flow on eBay. Sometimes they do well, sometimes they do not. You know, I want to say about 3 months ago, I was at a garage sale and a guy had 100 buckles. You're going to see, you love these stories, right?
It's great. It's great when it's not me. I'm not jealous in a bad way. I'm really happy for Orlando when he makes a lot of money. It's actually great when I'm not at the garage sale. It's really sad when I'm there first.
We are going to do garage sale right along, though, right?
Okay. Oh, of course.
So I show up, and the guy was, a reseller from back in the day, and he was telling me about how buckles were really hot back in the 90s and early 2000s, and that they've kind of waned in popularity. And he he told me that these buckles were buckles that they had made. Like they had somehow, you know, connected with someone who created these. But he had, you know, some football ones. He had some like local ones to San Diego. And then he had some other ones that were kind of unique. And I had asked him, you know, how much if I buy all of these buckles? Because he had them for like $5 a piece. Mm. And there were about 100 of them. And I think I got them down to $100 for all of them. So I paid like $1 or $2. Maybe it was a little more. I can't remember. And these buckles, I basically ended up controlling the market on buckles. And I say this because when I got on there and started listing these similar buckles, everybody was selling them for like $10 to $20. Well, I go in there with like 60 buckles and I'm selling all of them for I'm listing them for $50 a piece. Cause I'm like, I'm gonna single-handedly move the market.
And you're moving it almost in the opposite way that typically capitalism works, right? Cause usually somebody comes in with a high quantity, they're coming in at a lower price, which forces everybody else to kind of lose out. You went the opposite way. You said, I'm coming in with the most and I'm going to charge higher. And it worked. That's crazy.
Well, it did. So I have sold these buckles. I think I've sold about 14 of them. I think I sold at least 5 or 6 of them for $50. Okay. Then I've sold a bunch of other ones for like 25. And so buckles. Like, you know, you got the Star Trek one, the ones I just talked about. And I'm not sure for whatever reason, you know, people are underestimating. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, every buckle you find is going to be worth something. You might find some buckle that, you know, ends up selling for only $5. But I do find if they're like over 20 years old and there's something unique or special about them, you know, I've gotten buckles that are like motorcycle buckles, like Harley or Honda.
Right.
I've also gotten ones that are like unique, like they have a certain year and a certain state, whatever it may be. They definitely can sell. Hmm. So just think about it. You know, I'm trying to help out those that are just starting that maybe don't have huge budgets. Like buckles could be something that can help you build. Now, some of these are long tail, so I'm not going to say they're going to sell right away. But I did sell like 3 or 4 within a month and, you know, double my money.
That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't sold a buckle or worn a buckle other than like a typical dress belt buckle before. I kind of feel like I want to get one now. I didn't realize they had Star Trek buckles. I would totally rock that.
Wow, Star That's Wars.
Awesome. You know, I like Star Wars. I am a Star Wars fan. But there's something about Star Trek. Like if I were to dress up.
Do you speak Klingon too?
I don't. But if I were to dress up and go to Comic-Con, I'd be a Trekkie for sure.
Like Data? Like you'd shave your beard?
I would have to go as a Klingon because then I can kind of keep the facial hair maybe and look a little more gruff.
All right. What about your bolo?
Okay, my bolo. So, and maybe I'm totally off on this and everybody knows and this isn't like new to anybody, but I feel like with audio, specifically like speakers, everybody knows Bose, right? Like you find a lot of speakers that you pick up that are like cheap. Every thrift store has a bunch of Sonys and stuff that are like super, super cheap. Or JVC or something.
Iowa
like that.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. And then you see Bose and you're like, score, right? Like that's what you're looking for. All of you audiophiles out there know this. Polk Audio, right? Polk Audio is and some people might disagree. I've always felt I grew up listening to music on high-end vintage equipment. Polk Audio smashes Bose. I think it's way better.
Really?
I think a lot of people do too. Now, it has to be the older Polk Audio stuff, but even the new Polk Audio stuff sells. But anyways, I say all that because I've been in a couple thrift stores and found some Polk Audio that it's like, wow, I can't believe I'm seeing Polk Audio speakers here. And again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the market is not what I think it is.
I think there's some truth to what you're saying.
But you don't see Polk Audio as much at thrift stores or garage sales, even as much as Bose. I think it's a little bit rarer of a type of speaker. Well, I'm at a garage sale last weekend, and I find 2 boxes of...
That's right. You posted this on Instagram. Yep,
2 boxes of in-wall or in-ceiling speakers. So the box has 2 speakers in it, and you actually install them as if, like, almost like they're car speakers. You install them in your walls, and they were Polk Audio, new in box, never opened. I paid $25 each. The guy was asking for, I think, 40 each. He wanted 80 for the both boxes, and I was able to talk him down. So I take these home, I post them on eBay. Within 10 minutes, one of them sold for $130. I was asking $150, but I took the $130.
Do you think you should ask for more?
Maybe I should have, but I was okay with it. I mean, because others were selling at $150. That was what the comps were selling on them. So I feel like taking a $20 cut for an instant sell just for like the yes was worth it. And then I got $145 on the other one within 24 hours of that. So I sold both boxes in a 24-hour period, Polk Audio. It is amazing. And if you haven't ever listened to music through Polk Audio speakers, they're amazing. Go buy some.
Episode 14.
Okay. All right. Bolo of the week. What's your bolo?
What's my bolo? All right. I don't think I've talked about this before. I think I've talked about sealed products before, of course. But when I was at Out of Egypt, I found I found multiple, they were Kodak printer ink cartridges sealed,
right? Okay.
In the box sealed. And this is probably the fourth time that I found like this brand, the Kodak brand for like this specific printer. And every time I've picked them up, they sell within like 2 or 3 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, I've
good profit?
For really good profit. I was at one garage sale a couple months ago, and I picked up a bag full of them. I think there was like 10 of them in the bag.
Okay.
And I paid $5 for the whole bag, and each one sold for like $25, $20 to $25. Wow. And then, I think I bought...
Are they expired, or are they like current?
I don't know. Do they expire?
I don't know. People sell expired ink. That's why I ask.
I mean, I take pictures. I haven't heard anything back on any of them. I guess maybe I should double check that next time. So my bolo has turned into maybe an uh-oh.
No, it's an uh-oh because people will buy expired ink. But I think you're good.
But yeah, so I mean.
As long as you list that it's expired.
Yeah, actually disclose that.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, there you go. So if you're out and you see non-expired ink, pick it up.
Or expired.
Or expired.
Just look up comps. Just make sure you look up comps and make sure you're clear in the description of what you have.
And while you're doing that, if you're looking at computer inks, I see them at Salvation Armies and Goodwills all the time. A lot of times they'll be the big toner cartridges.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times they're the off-brand. Okay, so if it's like an off-brand ink
version. Yeah, I've seen you sell those.
I've sold a few. But if it's the off-brand and it says like for Canon, blah, 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 or works for, they do not sell for as much as if they're the authentic Canon.
Oh, no, that's true.
So make sure the off-brand is okay, but the comps are going to be much, much, much
better. I don't know if I would even make the off-brand a bolo. Would you make it a bolo?
I would say be on the lookout for ink, sealed ink, probably not expired, maybe expired. If it's off-brand, be very, very picky. Make sure that it's selling. Maybe it's a unique printer that they, you know, aren't making ink for anymore. But yeah, stay away from the off-brand for the most part. Try and find the on-brand ink.
Okay, I would say go on brand because, I don't know, the off-brand scares me.
It does.
And here's why. Let me give you an example. So I still use an old Epson printer, and I buy knockoff brands all the time for it. And sometimes my Epson will say, update firmware. Mm. So I'll update the firmware, and then all my knockoff ink cartridges that are in there no longer work. It'll say, like, these aren't genuine. Please buy genuine Epson ink. So just, you got to be careful because what will happen is, you know, you might sell something and somebody will pick it up thinking it's awesome. And within a week, like they can't use it anymore.
But I feel like people understand that when they're buying off-brand ink.
No, I know. I just, but stuff. You know, all it takes is one buyer, right? To kind of give you a headache.
Yeah.
Or you just keep moving.
I don't know. I mean, I feel, I'm just going to say, I mean, this is on top, but it has nothing to do with selling it. Ink is a racket, man. It is. Ink is so cheap. It's
right.
So cheap. You can buy the refill ink, which is the exact same stuff that you can get in the other cartridges for like pennies for full tubes of it. And it won't work in the cartridges because like you said, they want the genuine and the genuine is a chip that they put on there that says yes or no. The companies are making sure you buy from them and they can charge an arm and a leg for it. What a racket, man.
And that's why you're going to resell it.
Okay, all right.
So my bolo, and I don't know, I kind of feel guilty sharing this bolo, but I want to share this bolo because I think there's more money in it. And go with me here. So I don't know if you remember, like a few weeks ago, I bought all these like Tommy Bahama, like new shirts that were like sports themed, right? And it's funny because on the Insta story, I put like, would you pick these up? And pretty much everyone said no. but they've all been selling. And they're it's baseball. So I'm selling baseball items in September.
Nice.
Okay. And I've noticed, like, in the thrift stores, a lot of the Rain Spooner or the Tommy, like, sports-themed items, like, are gone. And I don't know if it's because they're going on Goodwill's website. I don't know if because people aren't donating them anymore. I don't know. But my guess is the prices on those items are going to start rising. Right? Because these Tommy Bahama shirts, I thought were going to take me a long time because Tommy Bahama. You know, I've already sold over half of that inventory for good money.
Wow.
And I you know, I just threw it on Insta, goes, hey, wonder where this is going to land. And they've been selling.
Nice.
So I'm just going to throw it out there again. Look for sports-themed Hawaiian shirts.
Yep. I sold one. Not a Tommy Bahama.
But, oh, the Padres one.
Yep.
Yeah, but if they're Tommy, if they're Rain Spooner, if they're even Kahala, like, they will sell for money.
Episode 16.
Okay, Bolo. So I kind of shared this a few weeks ago, but now that Q4 is here, I want to make sure that you all are understanding that, you know, this whole idea of supply and demand plays a huge part when you're looking at items that only certain stores share, right? So a lot of you know about the Target exclusives. You know about the Walmart exclusives. We talked about how certain items only Costco sells. Like, and actually, this last week I went to Costco, and they had a bunch of items. I'm like, these are going to be good moneymakers. I can't tell you what they are right now, but I thought.
Get to Costco quick. Start looking around. Scan everything.
Yeah, I know. But the sad thing was there was no listings for most of the stuff I scanned.
Mm.
But all it takes is one person willing to put in the work, and then everybody jumps on. But I want to let you know, like, look for now. Don't only look for, like, store exclusives. Look for items that only certain stores sell. Like, right now, I think of a certain game that you can't find at Walmart. You can't find at Target. Like, but you can find them at certain discount stores.
Mm.
And I know that game sells for, you know, three times of what I put into it. So I want to make sure we're looking into that. So that's my bolo.
It's good stuff. I like it.
What do you got?
My bolo, again, I'm not an expert. This is my first season doing this, winter season. So every kind of, I feel like things change. But I've been picking up some snowboard boots and skiing boots, and okay, they're starting to sell. And I've noticed that more of them are ending up in thrift stores right now. So I don't know if that's thrift stores have kind of been holding them until it's getting towards winter season. But they're coming out at relatively inexpensive prices. Because I think people, you know, it's not the season 100% yet for people to be out snowboarding and skiing and things like that. But we're getting there, and people are starting to recognize that, and I'm selling them. And so if you see snowboard boots and ski boots, look it up. Might be a good model. Might be worth something.
Yeah, definitely do the research, because those run the gamut.
Oh, yeah. I've found some that it's like the thrift store is charging $15, and they're selling for $8, right? They're just worthless. But you know, there's some where the thrift store is still selling it for $15 and they're like $200 boots. So
nice.
Episode 18.
The bolo of the week.
All right. Bolo.
All right. I'll share my bolo real quick here. And you've seen me post these, and I'm just going to give the brand name because, you know, there's a lot to go around, but Sorel boots, S-O-R-E-L. Like, those will sell, even if they're messed up. I mean, if the soles are, like, destroyed, they're not going to sell.
Mm.
But if they're, you know, there's, like, snow wear on there, if they're dirty, you know, some cosmetic issues, you know, if you can pick them up at a good price point, like $5, $10, even sometimes at $20, you can flip them from anywhere to 50 to 100 and maybe more, depending on the model. But I've sold probably 5 Sorel boots in the last 2 weeks.
Nice.
So they're definitely, it's that time.
Yeah.
Right? And what they are, they're not like ski boots, but they're like winter, snow, inclement weather kind of stuff. So, you know, if you see them, pick them up. Sorel boots. What do you got?
It's good stuff. All right. Mine, I know this because my wife collects Spode Christmas ornaments. She gets one every year.
Okay.
And I was at some garage sales and I saw several boxes full of various Christmas dishes. Some were Spode, some were another brand, another like a Japanese brand. And so because there were a lot of Spode in here, I was like, well, I'm going to pick these up. So I bought like these 3 boxes full of dishes, got home, cleaned them up. And already, like within a few days of posting them, I've already sold most of the Spode stuff.
Wow.
Spode Spode. They make Christmas ornaments. They make Christmas dishware. Their logo is just like a Christmas tree with like, I mean, if you know Spode, look it up. If you see any of their stuff, Christmas stuff, it is like gold. People love it.
And you sharing it is what I love about reselling. Like, think about it. I'm selling, like, I'm talking about Sorel boots. You're talking about, like, dinner plates.
Yep.
Right? Other bolos. You were talking about speakers. I was talking about, like, certain kind of Hawaiian shirts. Yep. Like, you know, we can share, but there's still going to be stuff out there. Like, yep. I've never even heard of Spode before. Like, that's incredible.
And think of how many you've passed up, and now you'll never pass up a Spode again.
Yeah. And
Episode 20.
Thought about the hockey jerseys are a bolo, but I think every hockey jersey I've had, I'm trying to remember, I think I've sold every single one of them for more than $50.
Yeah.
And most of the time I pick them up used for $5 to $10.
Yeah. And maybe part of it too, that we were able to pick them up so cheap here, might be one of the few benefits of living in California is that hockey is not a big deal. So there's not a big market of people.
You know,
looking
it is
to buy
though.
Them. Is it?
Yeah, it is in certain parts of California.
Certain parts of California. Yeah. But it's that's I feel like a relatively new phenomenon. Like, I don't feel like hockey has been huge for very long, but I think recently people are starting to get into it, you know.
No, I agree. And the reason I make this about some of you are like, Orlando jerseys, really? It's because a lot of people think about basketball or they think about baseball jerseys, even football. But hockey is one of those I don't hear a lot of people talking about.
Yeah. It'll be really cool as if there's money in like bowling jerseys.
Bowling?
I don't know.
Are there bowling jerseys?
Yeah, man. There's professional bowlers and they have like sponsors and stuff. I'm sure there's jerseys. Okay. People buy them.
All right. Maybe one day. All right. Not a bolo, though.
Not a bolo.
It's hockey jerseys.
Maybe. Maybe a bolo.
Maybe, right? That's true. All right, Mike, what do you got?
All right. So this one's weird because it's not like a, hey, this is fire. You're going to make a ton of money. But we've noticed in our Posh store, we've got a lot of items. Some items are like the really big name brand ticket items. Some items are just kind of like thrift store finds where it's like, hey, you know, this is a cute item. I don't know. It's not like a name brand. We have found a lot of success selling Banana Republic stuff.
And what? Banana Republic?
Yeah. And so that's,
I am shocked.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I know they're like not ultra high end, but they're also not like Walmart, right? Like they're somewhere in between. They're like, they're like, You see them at nice malls or nice, you know, designer places
that is
occasionally.
True.
So you see Banana. We've had a lot of success selling Banana sweaters, Banana tops, Banana shirts, a pair of Banana pants. Like,
so what's been the ROI on those?
That's what I mean. Like, it's not like, oh, this is like fire. Like, I bought it for a dollar and sold it for 50.
Okay.
But we're selling them consistently. We're getting them for like $1 to $5, somewhere in that range, depending on what we're getting, and selling them for like $15 to $20.
Okay.
So yeah. So like, if you're low on space, again, I think clothing, one of the reasons we're kind of moving more and more towards Posh is it takes up way less space. It's relatively easy to ship, and you know, yeah. So you're buying some for $2, you make $15, you know, so maybe your profit margin on there is only like $10 or $11. Well, if you've got the volume, it's easy to print, it's easy to pack, you're saving time in other ways. Like, you know, it's doable. We're enjoying it.
Okay. So if it works for you. I think I, long time ago, sold a sweater that was Banana Republic. But I think that's the last time I looked.
Do you have any banana in your inventory?
No.
We'll see if that might be the reason why that was the last time you sold a banana.
Episode 22.
Anyways, my bolo is miniatures in general. So like little metal, you're looking for metal. You probably don't want plastic, although new plastic stuff sells okay. You're not looking for like plastic army men, right? But like a little miniature, you know, the size of like a quarter if it's standing up, figurines. Usually they're like Middle Earth looking where they got swords and stuff, or they're like futuristic where they've got like guns and big old armor. And you
know, they don't look like toys.
No. Well, no, I wouldn't say they look like toys. Look up, just go home or wherever you're, you know, at right now. Check out Warhammer 40K. Look up Games Workshop miniatures. I've only ran into a few of them at garage sales. These things hold their value like you wouldn't believe. I've tried multiple times and in getting into different miniature games. I play a few. And even buying the miniatures used, because they sell them new, extremely expensive. Sometimes we're talking like a little tiny figure could be upwards $30 to $40 for one.
Okay.
Right. And people, when they have armies, have hundreds and hundreds of them.
Wow.
And when they sell their armies, if you go on eBay and you're selling Games Workshop stuff, if you're selling, you know, Warhammer 40K or this Lord of the Rings game or various games, they sell, they hold their value. And so if you can find them at a thrift store or if you find them at garage sales and people are just trying to offload them, maybe on Craigslist or something like that, pick them up. They hold
have,
their
like,
value.
Engraving? Do they have engravings on it for you to be able to tell what it is?
No. That's the thing is if it's metal and it looks nice and it's a miniature, it's going to sell for money. Whether it's Dungeons and Dragons, Games Workshop, you might have a little bit of, you know, trying to figure out what game specifically it goes okay. to, but there's only a couple of really big games. Even Dungeons and Dragons miniatures, if they're metal, if you can get your hands on miniatures, I still don't know why they're so expensive. Even the plastic ones are extremely expensive. I think, I don't know how they hold the market, but anyways, I picked up these two boxes of Lord of the Rings metal miniatures. It's like, I'm telling you something like quality wise, they're really nice for what they are, but like it's something a kid would get at a store for $5 or $10. They're selling for $60 each, right? I picked up two of them. So $120 worth of miniatures. So that's my bolo. Be on the lookout for wargaming miniatures. They're money.
I'm sure I've just passed them up all the time.
Oh, I'll be mad. I'm waiting for the
Not
day.
Not all that, the time, but
I'm waiting
in all
for
the garage
day,
that
full army.
Wow. Okay. That is definitely a good one. Yep. All right. So mine is just something I haven't thought about in a while. So a couple years ago, I was at a community garage sale. And I drove up, and there was this box. And this box was full of these business phones.
Mm.
And the guy was just trying to offload them. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, hey, man, I'll give them to you for 20.
Hmm.
And it was like 10 phones. And then I looked them up on eBay, one or two of them. And, you know, they're going for like 30, 40 a piece. And I was like, okay, I could do this. And so I picked them up and then I went home and I went through all of them. And I think I sold, how many phones did I say I had? I had a bunch. I don't remember. But let's say it was 10 phones or whatever it was. I sold them all for $150. I just lauded them all. I didn't even say they worked. I just said, untested, you know, there's the power cord and that's it. There's no other cables. All sold for $150.
Episode 24.
All right. Let's get to our bolos of the week.
Bolo.
I'll go with my bolo first.
Go for it.
Okay. So I'm going to speak in vague terms, but they're not going to be vague. So what I've noticed a lot is right now, like everybody's like into Nike, into hype shoes, like, and so on, which there is money to be made. But I think a lot of people are missing out on those thrift store shoes. And I'm not talking about Doc Martens. I'm not talking about Merrell. I'm talking about like these European made shoes. And so for instance, I'll just drop two brands like Lodi and Mephisto, M-E-P-H-I-S-T-O. And I have had incredible luck with these shoes.
Mm.
Right. And they sell and they take a little bit at times, but they're shoes that get looked over because they don't look nice like a Lucky Charms pair of Nike shoes, right? They don't look as nice as a pair of Yeezys. But there's money to be made, right? I just sold a pair of Mephisto shoes that I paid about $15 for $97, right? I just sold a pair of Lodi shoes that I paid, I forget what I paid, it was like $15 or $20, and I sold for close to $100. So there are these shoes that I'm selling that are European. Now, don't just pick them up because it says made in Italy or made in whatever. Do the research, okay? Look at the condition. What's nice about some of these shoes is that they have like names for them, right? Kind of like Allen Edmonds has like Hanover and Park Avenue. Like they have specific names for these shoes. So that's going to be my bolo because I feel that a lot of new resellers coming on are getting caught up in the hype of all these other shoes, which again, there's money to be made, but if you're low on capital, like some of the best ways to build your capital could be Mug Life, could be Snapback Hat Life, but definitely shoes. And I would say good European shoes. Are there some shoes you're about to share with me that you came across?
Yeah, and this is one that
Mike's looking on his phone if you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in what he's looking at.
Well, I'm trying to think of what my bolo is going to be because there's a lot of things that are interesting that I want to talk about. But since we're talking about shoes and kind of keep things consistent, and this is one we've probably talked about before, But Cole Haan shoes. Am I saying that right?
No, Cole Haan, you're right. And that was actually my hustle of the week. So mm-hmm. that my other hustle that I didn't talk about. Nice. So let's talk about
that works
it.
Out. Yeah. So I mean, I've sold quite a few Cole Haan shoes. I picked up one actually this Sunday when I was at the thrift store with my dad. I was able to show him the brand and say, like, hey, here's one to look out for. And a lot of times I see them and they're beat, and it's not like the Allen Edmonds. I felt pretty comfortable getting with some Knicks. Cole Haans, I've got some that have been sitting for a while, and I'm not sure if they were good buys, but I've had pretty good success by buying them and selling them. The key though is getting them at the right price. I feel like yep. garage sales, you're almost always going to get them at a decent price. Certain thrift stores, I feel like we've talked before, thrift stores have their weaknesses. Some thrift stores, you know, I don't know if it's they know shoes or they just automatically put shoes very expensive. But, you know, there's times where it's like every time I see Cole Haans, the bottom of the shoe, it's like, oh, $19.99. Nope, not going to pick it up unless you know it's like a specific one. But, you know, I was able to pick up one at a thrift store that normally has them for really high for $4.99.
Wow, and how much did it
really
get for?
Clean pair. I haven't listed them yet. I actually don't even know if I did any research for them yet because just picked them up a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But I know they're going to be, they're good. I mean, they're I think they're penny loafers. They're in like perfect condition. They yeah. look great.
And here's what's interesting. So again, the Bolo was European shoes, right? Not any specific, but some brands to look at are Mefizo and what's the other one? Oh, Lodi. And, you know, there's another one. Meslan is one, but you got to research them because there are some that you'll pick up and like there's no money in
there's it. There's not worth anything.
And so because I made the mistake that some were worth money and then I just picked them up whenever I saw them and then they've been in my store forever and haven't sold. But I will say Cole Haan, the market's gone up. It's kind of like shape-ups. Like the market was high, it went away, and now it's back up.
Episode 26.
Same house. My Bolo is coming.
Really?
From. Yep, same house. So when I very first started reselling, in fact, it was before you and I went on our ride along, that first garage sale.
Yeah.
I decided, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to go to a couple garage sales. And I picked up that encyclopedia set of like ship books.
Oh, right? Yeah, I remember those, yeah.
And they sat for a while and they were heavy and I didn't think they'd ever sell, but they actually sold for a decent amount. And because they ship media mail, like it wasn't, even though it was like, I think like 50 pounds of books, like it didn't cost as much as I thought to ship.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, like I'll probably never buy books like that again, but they sold.
I remember that.
Yep. But anyways, I'm at this house and I see a set of like encyclopedias. And then I look at what the brand is and it's Time Life, which is the same brand that those ship books were. And this one was a Civil War set, right? 28 books. And so I think the last one was like 15, but they're thinner. So they're not quite as heavy as the other set. I'm looking them up on eBay. I'm looking up comps, going for like $120
for the
28 book set.
Okay.
Yep. And selling like at regular. So there was, she had two other Time Life sets. I think one was incomplete and the other one was like a small one. And I looked those ones up also and they weren't going for as much. So it's not that every Time Life set goes for a lot, but there are certain ones that if you can get a complete set of Time Life books, and this is the third garage sale now I've been to where people have had entire sets, look them up. Don't, even if you're not a book person, because if it's a complete set, there are collectors.
So you picked them up, obviously.
Yep.
So talk to me about how you shipped them. Like the last set of books. What did you do to ship them?
A big box.
No, I know, but like, so I've never sold, I think maybe once, but, you know, and I've sold a lot of stuff for the last few years, but I've never sold like 28 books at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So do you just like stack them and like put padding all around it?
Yeah, I did that time. The first time I set, I shipped out the books, which the person received them and was happy with the way they received. I even had, I think I took like a large box, like either a medium size, maybe it was a medium size, like Home Depot box that I cut down the edges and folded it over a little bit just so I didn't have to use as much paper padding. But I've sold a lot of other books since then, like sets of like, you know, textbooks or homeschool books or whatever. So when I sell a set like that, now what I'm doing is I'll take like four of them. I'll like wrap them in like the Saran wrap stuff, whatever that's called.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't move. And then I'll put them down. I'll do a few stacks like that. And then in between books, especially if they have nice covers, like I'll put like a piece of paper over like one piece of paper will do like four or five books, you know, in between the covers, and then you wrap that. And then, yeah, so then I just use paper as padding around it and good to go.
Nice. I was interested because I've never sold that many books.
It was heavy. Like, I think I took a picture. I can't remember how much it was, but I took a picture of the box on a scale, and it was extremely heavy. This set is not as heavy. It's probably only like 35 pounds, but it's still...
But I think that's
some
a great
weight.
Bolo because, like, I still won't pick those up. Even after you tell me that, like...
I paid $6 for the set, and they're selling regularly on eBay for $120.
I just don't know if I could do it.
You've got to do it, man.
I know, but that's the thing. Like, that's what's awesome about reselling, right? Like, there's certain things that I pick up that Mike won't pick up. And there's some things that Mike tells me, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to deal with all that.
So be on the lookout for Time Life Books and decide, do you really want to ship that many books? And they're heavy. But if it's you.
But it separates you from the competition.
Be on the lookout.
Orlando will not be competing with you at all.
Have you ever run across a Time Life set at a garage sale? Send me a text message.
I've seen them a lot.
Yep. Send me a text message.
Okay, all right. Or maybe we need to do garage sales together. We haven't done one together in a long time.
That's some serious competition, man. Because then it's a fight. Then we're elbowing. Get into my box, and I'm like, okay. Get out of my box.
No, but think about it. The last two garage sales we went together, we... Only
totally
one,
different stuff.
Only one time I think you were a little annoyed because remember, like, you were looking at stuff, and then that's when I got all those pennants.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't annoyed. I wouldn't have thought to look at the pennants. So.
Yeah, that's the only. But most of the other time, we're not looking at the same thing.
It's true.
So that's what I'm.
Right, so what's your bolo?
Well, my bolo is a generic one, and I'm not a fan of generic ones because I want to help you guys out. But I've kind of noticed lately, like, metallic looking shoes are in. So. Do your research, though, okay? Because there's a lot of cheap shoes that look metallic. So I sold a pair of Cole Haan, like, metallic, like, silverish kind of shoes that I picked up at, it was Marshalls for, like, $40 or something. And I sold them for $120. Then I came across a pair of Doc Martens that were metallic red.
Wow.
And I got them for $20. It's actually, if you want to look at an IG post a few days ago, you'll find it. And I paid $20 for it, and I sold it for $120, right? And what drew my attention was, like, how shiny and metallic it was. And then when I knew that it was a good brand, I was like, Doc Martens, I'd even look up. I'm grabbing
picking
these,
them up,
right? But Cole Haan, you know, I've talked about in two podcasts ago how Cole Haan is kind of rebounding, right? Where there wasn't a lot of money in Cole Haan, and now there's money again. And maybe now that we say it, the money's going to... I don't know.
Don't tank my Cole Haan market. I have a whole box full of them.
There you go. But it's not going to tank. But, you know, just these metallic shoes. I would say if you see a pair of metallic shoes, look at, especially if it's a brand that you're aware of, like, look it up because that might be the thing now. I don't know. I've sold, like, shimmery shoes for a lot of money. Like, I had a pair of Converse I picked up for $10 that I sold for $60, and they were kind of, like, dirty and worn, but they're really bright. Mm. It just be on the lookout. I know it's a very generic bolo, but, you know, I don't want to just give you one pair of shoes. Like, this can apply to Cole Haan, Doug Martin, Converse, you name it, you know.
Metallic or shimmery.
Yeah, there you go.
Or sparkly.
And I'm not talking about, like, Skechers, like, little kid twinkle shoes. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, like, major name brands. Mm. So.
Episode 27.
So I'll go with my bolo of the week first. Since that's what happened last time. Okay, you go first.
Does it matter who
goes
first?
Okay, I'll go. So I'm going to be very generic because if I went specific on this bolo, you might miss out, right? And so I sold two pairs of gloves in the last, I would say, month for over $150, and I picked each of them for $9, okay? But they're not winter gloves. And they're not, like, anything special. Well, they are, but they're not. So one of them was, and I'm not going to give, I'll give one brand. So one of them was called Outdoor Research. Mm. And they are Firebrand mitts.
Yeah, that's the one you didn't realize was, like, pretty high-end.
No, I had no idea. And I did the research on the phone, and I paid $9.99, and I sold them for $86. Mm. Right? And then I had another pair of, like, winter kind of outdoor gloves that were new with tags. I researched those. I paid, I don't know, I want to say $6 and $9, and I sold them for about $90 or $100.
Wow.
Right? I can't remember. It's been a little while. But again, they're usually I'm looking for like Gore-Tex or right. I'm looking for like North Face or I'm looking, you know, for some kind of specific brand. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, take the time. If there's a bin full of gloves and there's some of them that are new with tags, it doesn't hurt to do the research. So that's the BOLO. Like, look at gloves. Specifically, if they're new with tags, you know, it holds its value if they're quality gloves.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think going along with that idea is it's taken me a long time to realize. I used to think when I was young that the only difference between expensive clothing or expensive items and inexpensive items were like a logo that was on it, right? Like it's okay, just a brand.
Yeah.
But what I've come to realize is they're definitely, maybe you get to a point where it's like, okay, this is obnoxiously priced for nothing more like useful. Mm-hmm. But I think up to like decent high-end and mid-tier items, like there is a clear quality difference, right? So you can probably just in a bin of gloves be looking at them and even without looking for a specific brand, if you see a brand you don't recognize, but you can tell like, oh, this is quality. Like this is made nice. It's, mm-hmm. It seems good. Like you can typically tell, especially the more items you touch and look at and feel, you'll realize like this seems like nicer material than the others.
And one of the best tips I've received as to, you know, how do you know? You know, part of it is through a lot of experience. The other one is you should go to some high-end retailer, right? And, you know, just get a sense of how their leather feels there. And then go to Target or Walmart or somewhere and see how their leather feels.
So you're saying like go into like a coach store and like...
Yeah, something like that.
What would be high-end? Like, should we go to like Nordstrom?
Not like a Nordstrom or a Neiman Marcus or, you know, one of those stores that we never shop at. Yeah. A Bloomingdale's, you know.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll go to Nordstrom, and I'll make a day out of it, and I'll just look at brands, write stuff down, research, see what's selling.
Yeah, some people do that, and you come across great stuff because it's not only like Nordstrom brands or Neiman Marcus. It's other name brands that sell within
right. That
store, right? And if you're out in the wild thrifting, you go, hey, I remember I saw this, and it was going for this much at this store. Mm. And it definitely helped you out, so... That was a BOLO, like, what to do.
Hey, Dubs, the BOLO tip, life-changing, potentially.
I can't believe, like, we're reaching the end of Q4.
Yeah. Are you ready for my BOLO? Or are you going to cut me off?
No, I was going to wrap this up right now. I was like, no more. We don't need to hear.
Oh.
Okay. No, go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
All right. BOLO. You ready for this?
I'm always ready.
So we've talked a little bit about this idea that January might be a big month, right, for eBay selling.
Okay, hopefully.
Just think for a moment. What is it?
Is it another quote?
Majority of people know. What do majority of people do, like, first of the year?
Oh, they work out. They go to gyms.
Fitness equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fitness equipment is my BOLO. Obviously, don't pick up shake weights and think you're going to sell them unless it's new in a box, right?
And the local game is strong when it comes to, especially in January, like fitness equipment, the local game. Because, you know, shipping out weights.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. But, like, I've had surprising success with, like, workout DVDs. You know, there's been quite a few things that I found that are definitely shippable. And then, like you said, local game, I think, is good. Thank you so much for listening or watching this compilation episode. We hope that you were able to get something out of it. We are really just so excited about everything that we were able to accomplish this year in 2018 with Pure Hustle Podcast, with our reselling. It's just been a great year, but we are even more excited about what 2019 has to offer. So please make sure to keep listening and keep watching. We have a lot in store for next year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.